The last word with permanenttsb.ie. Kickstart your savings by switching to Permanent TSB.
I don't want to depress you, and we are going to approach this next item in as positive a frame of mind as possible, looking for ways out of the crisis that we're in. But this afternoon, 10-year money that our government, or 10-year loans that our government sell, the bond yields 7.338%. That's the highest ever. And this is making it look like, no matter what the government is trying to do in relation to the budget, that this 15 billion contraction that it's looking to achieve over the next few years is not being accepted by international investors. David McWilliams is with us. Hello to you, David.
Matt, how are you?
David, I got text messages from friends today in London who were saying, just prepare yourselves. It's inevitable now that the IMF is going to take over, because it's not just the government bonds which are the problem, but the banks as well are unable to refinance, or if they issue bonds, it's at such a higher yield as well that they'll be charging 10, 11, 12% even for mortgages to make money back on them. Where are we going?
Well, Matt, I mean, you and I have spoken about this before, that this was the way things were going. We spoke about this about 18 months ago, that the way the economy was going and the huge amounts of debt that we had would only point in one general direction. And the last 18 months, what we've had is spin and flannel, and we're turning the corner and the markets are going to come in and back us. Now, when we spoke in the past, Matt, I always said that this was probably nonsense. I'm not saying that day has arrived, but it's very, very clear to me and to everybody else now that financial markets don't believe the government. But more importantly, we don't believe the government. You saw the government's efforts to raise bonds internally off the Irish people, and they were largely received underwhelmingly because we don't want to give our savings to this government either. So ultimately, we've got to step back and say, if we are moving rapidly towards what you said, this IMF stroke EU administration of Ireland, what can we do to make sure that that is not as draconian as it has been in other countries? And by that I mean, Matt, we have a weak hand, okay, to play. And if you look at what the IMF and the EU are saying to us, they're saying that in the context of the euro, there's three things that can't happen. The Europeans say there can be no exit from the euro, there can be no bailout, and there can be no default. Now, if we assume there'll be no exit, even though I think you're probably aware that I'm one of the very few people who believes that that may well be salvation, but park that. It means that now with the European Union, we have to negotiate two things. The European Union is saying there'll be no bailout, and there'll be no default. Now, it strikes me that last Friday, the European Union slipped on the no bailout by Angela Merkel saying that they will have to possibly change the treaties to put in a bailout condition. So if we're going to get bailed out by the European Union, which it seems likely, as you said, the financial markets don't believe us, they don't believe the mathematics, they don't believe the arithmetic, and what they also don't believe is that the country can grow, Matt, in the face of 15 billion of cuts. So what the markets are saying is we don't want to invest in a large debt servicing agency called Ireland with debt service agents called the Department of Finance. We want to see an economy that grows. So I think this is actually an opportunity at the very end of a pathetic cycle of spin, where we can focus our minds and say, if the IMF and the European Union are going to come in and administer the Department of Finance, what can we negotiate with them? And what we can negotiate with them is a reversal of the last 18 months, a reversal of NAMA. Today it was announced that 71% of NAMA's loans, Matt, are in default. They're not performing.
Which means just the repayments are not being made on them.
The repayments are not being made on 71% of all the loans in NAMA. 40,000 people are now more than 3 months behind in their mortgages. 40,000 ordinary people. That figure is going to get worse. So it's time now for us to negotiate with the EU and say, we need you to oversee a reversal of the last 12 months policy, because the last 12 months policy, Matt, is a policy that's accelerated the bankruptcy.
Okay, but David, can I suggest to you that part of the problem is that the European Union, the European Commission, the European Central Bank have been running the country for the last 12 months or so, that they have dictated the policy and they've kept providing the funds to keep our banks afloat, and they're now the ones who are in demanding and insisting that we have to cut 15 billion out of our budget over the next 4 years. They are de facto in control, it doesn't seem to be doing us any good.
What has happened is they have, their gamble, the ECB's gamble, was that they never wanted to be in a position where Ireland might have to go into this European Stabilisation Fund, because that is a defeat for them. Their view was that we will keep pumping money into Ireland and we will persuade the financial markets to pump the rest of the money into Ireland, so that we will go kind of burden sharing, half public money, half private money. Now what you've seen is the private sector, the financial markets, as evidenced by the 7.33% yield today, have said, you know what, you're on your own. So in actual fact, our negotiating position, Matt, is stronger, not weaker. And if only we could have real patriots in the Department of Finance who are negotiating for us, who could see this, that the ECB and the European Union are in a bit of a corner too. And therefore, we've got to appeal to their sense of European solidarity. We've got to appeal to their sense of fair play. And we've also got to appeal to the basic idea that nobody in the European Union wants Ireland to fail. It is not a vindictive club. In actual fact, it's a very tolerant club. And if we go to our European partners and say, now that the private sector, the bond market, has given up, it's just you and me. It's only the pair of us left. I believe there is an opportunity here.
But David, hasn't the European Central Bank been buying most of the bonds for our banks? Hasn't the private market dried up to us already? Isn't the European Central Bank doing most of this?
But this is what I'm saying. But now the charade that it could be some burden sharing between the private sector, the private financial market, the European Central Bank has been blown out of the water. The other partners, the financial markets, have stepped out of the dance, and it's just us and the ECB left. And therefore, I think we can negotiate in a clearer way. And by negotiate, I mean we've got to accept, we've got to define reality in Ireland, not as we would like it to be, but as it is. And it is, and I come back to the NAMA figure, 71% of developers' loans in default. It is 40,000 people more than 3 months arrears in their payments. And therefore, huge debt amnesty. I'm not going to say debt forgiveness, because I know a lot of people believe that once you use the expression forgiveness, suggests that there has been a sin in taking out the debt in the first place. I'm talking about an amnesty. Because unless we have an amnesty for those who are in huge negative equity, who are behind on their mortgages, and who ultimately can't pay, the economy will never, ever get going. Now, and I started to say our hand was weak, but we have a negotiating hand. And the negotiating hand is the following. If we do a deal with the European Union, the European Union looks stronger. Therefore, some of the pressure on the European Union abates. So they have an interest in Ireland growing, not Ireland being punished. So ultimately, therefore, our negotiating strategy should appeal to their sense of self-preservation. It's a weak hand, but it's there, Matt, and it can be played.
David, three things I have to ask you about. Firstly, a lot of people are texting and wondering, what would the International Monetary Fund do if we went to the next step, if we went effectively from the receiver in the European Central Bank to the liquidator in the IMF? What would the IMF do to us?
Well, it's very interesting. If you look at where the IMF have come into countries, the most successful, ultimately, IMF plans were in Asia after the Asian crisis. Now, they all involved, Matt, and this is a crucial distinction, they all involved a massive reduction and fall in the currency to allow companies to export, to cushion the blow of what the IMF was doing internally. Now, if we are to take the view that we can't do that, it means that the IMF's policy here will be even more draconian than it was in Asia. But what it will do is it will come in and highlight, without a shadow of a doubt, public sector pay and public sector conditions, but also private sector, and by that I mean the banking system's paying conditions, because ultimately all of the bank employees are public sector officials now at the moment, okay? And it will try to bring down the deficit as quickly as possible. Now, we have got to be prepared to negotiate with the IMF, simply because without allowing the currency to fall, Matt, and most people in Ireland don't want the currency to fall. They actually, most people in Ireland believe that keeping the euro is the one thing that keeps their savings intact. If they have savings. But those with savings are saying, hold on a second, and I've argued before that the euro is a problem, but I can accept people's view that, hold on a second, you know, at least I can trust the Europeans not to devalue their currency to such an extent that my savings in euros are, at least if they're there, are going to remain in euros. But if you come back to it, Matt, if the IMF can't reduce the currency, what they will focus on is incredibly, incredibly draconian reductions.
Okay. In public sector.
And obviously, Matt, increases in taxation. I mean, you and I have got to accept now, at our stage in our career, that we will pay very high taxes until we stop working, and possibly we won't stop working. Now, that's for services that are not half as good as other European countries that already pay high taxes.
Okay, David, I have to ask you another question. A number of listeners are asking this one, and indeed this is something we were discussing here in the office today. How valuable is the bank guarantee now? I mean, can people be reassured that the government will, in all circumstances, be able to make good all deposits in our banks?
Well, Matt, you know, as you know, I was a supporter of the bank guarantee at the beginning because I believed we had to try and control a chaotic situation.
Yeah, but that was for ordinary deposits, not for the bondholders who got treated extraordinarily.
The only thing, and I've been arguing this for ages, but the only thing we can do is get the bondholders into a room with an Irish liquidator, lock the door, and say to the bondholders, there is no money in the tank.
It may be too late, David, because most of these bondholders have been paid off with money that the Irish government borrowed from the ECB. We've missed the chance.
Then you go to the ECB. I mean,
negotiate with them.
You negotiate with the central. Look, think about it, Matt. Central banks were set up to be the lenders of last resort, to actually be defaulted on. If you actually look at the logic of the central bank.
So in other words, the ECB is going to have to make good our bank guarantee for our depositors in this country, isn't it?
The ECB is going to have to make good its guarantee of the Irish financial system, which it has gone along with for the last 18 or 24 months, simply because that's what a central bank does.
And a final point. There's a few listeners who texted in complaining, saying we're talking all doom and gloom unnecessarily. Did we not hear the Exchequer returns that the tax came in about 1% ahead of expectations for the first 10 months? These listeners are saying, why are we talking things down instead of talking things up?
Well, as far as I remember, Matt, you called me because the financial markets had made a decision. There was very little to do. I think that what we've got to do is we've got to look at what the reality in Ireland is. And the reality is that irrespective, and I think it should be welcomed that the tax figures were up. It was a big increase in corporation tax, fallen income tax, but a big increase in corporation tax in October. But ultimately, it's the big direction of these things that matter. It's not the noise around numbers. And the big direction of these things is that financial markets have decided that the responsibility for Ireland is no longer theirs, but that it's the negotiation between the Irish Republic, which is still a sovereign country, and the European Union, which is still a friend.
David McWilliams is taking part in the Kilkenomics Economics Festival running in Kilkenny from the 11th to the 14th of November. What's the website for that, David?
It's kilkenomics.com. That's kilkenomics.com. And for your listeners who are worried about the doom and gloom, what we've done is we've combined some of our finest stand-ups from the Kilkenny Cat Laughs to actually come and ask the questions of some of our own local economists, and we have some very fine economists coming in from outside. So it'll be economics, comedy, all in Kilkenny, the weekend after next.
David McWilliams, thank you for joining us. We'll be hearing about Michael Fingerton's financial position and also the danger that occasional smokers cause themselves, fooling themselves when they think they're not smokers, when we come back after the traffic.